You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, happy Saturday. Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week podcast. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Stephen Serta. Plenty to get you caught up on from the past week. We'll start things off with the latest episode of Beach Season, just talking about the Chiefs' free agency moves and grading how next year's team is starting to shape up. After that, it's going to be the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show, just talking about the latest on L'Jarius Sneed as well as wide receiver Hollywood Brown. Then we'll wrap things up with the latest edition of the AP Draft Room, just talking more Hollywood Brown fit here in Kansas City and other draft needs for the Chiefs. That's all coming up on today's Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week.
Some Chiefs news this week. As part of free agency, Chiefs brought back Mike Pinnell and Turk Wharton. I love both of these signings. Turk Wharton is a guy who's just great depth on the line. Have you ever seen that man on leg day? Like when they, like the Chiefs send out those videos of like the Chiefs players working out. Look at Turk Wharton's thighs are just on the field. The man's thighs are the size of a Suburban. Like, I bet you he leg presses 4,000 pounds. Like, it's like I've never seen legs as big as Turk Wharton's legs. And it's probably why he anchors pretty good on the defensive line. Other than that, Mike Pinnell, two-time Chiefs Super Bowl champion, Mike Pinnell, Super Bowl hero, Mike Pinnell, back with the Kansas City Chiefs. That is a big, angry, and violent man who is awesome in the run game. The Chiefs usually don't bring him in until later in the year. He's kind of like their playoff push guy that they get, that they bring in. But they brought him back this year. He signed from the get-go. Just great veteran leadership. He has that killer mentality. Has that mentality. If you watch the latest episode, the final episode of the franchise, Mike Pinnell's on the sideline just telling people, like, get out there, be mean, kill somebody. Like, you know, he's got that attitude that you need, you know, in these big games. And so I'm a huge fan of Mike Pinnell. What about you? What do you think about those signings, as well as Drew Tranquil? Did we talk about that last week? Drew Tranquil's back too, right? Did we talk about that last week? Did that happen yet?
That happened. I'm pretty sure it happened. Didn't we talk about that? Yes, I think we did. I think we talked about that because it's obviously huge with Drew Tranquil's back.
We talked about it.
I talked about it on my show, my other
and
show.
But I had to go come back and talk about Chris Jones.
Yeah, that
because
that
the Chris
happened.
Jones thing happened while we were talking.
Exactly.
But speaking of that, I should probably open up Twitter just in case Sneed gets traded while we're talking today, because we are recording on St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Go out there, have a car bomb or 10, but get home safe. Drive an Uber. I once had 10
ride
too many
an Uber.
Car bombs
Don't drive
on a
Uber.
St. Patrick's Day and woke up using a soccer ball as a pillow in my front yard at 11 p.m. at night.
Never gotten that far from me.
This was years ago.
What I'm curious about Mike Pinnell and Tershawn Wharton is: did the Chiefs were they able to get them back because they know they would take that team friendly deal, knowing how tight the Chiefs are against the cap? Because you clearly know with the signing. I mean, we'll talk more about it with the addition of Hollywood Brown. You know, there was still like that tiny bit of money that they could have offered elsewhere, I guess, if they wanted to upgrade a position. But it was nice that these two studs, they actually bought in and understand the Chiefs' way, and they know they can get a ring with the Chiefs right now. They're already still trying to three-peat, and this is perfect for the Chiefs. They knew these two guys are productive for them when they need it, and they're back on a team that could possibly win a third Super Bowl ring in a row.
Well, and the thing is like, so say for instance somebody's offering them 1 year $2 million, and the Chiefs are offering them 1 year league minimum, which is like $1.5 million, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you want to go chase a ring? or go play somewhere else and move your whole family and everything for an extra $500,000. Right. And so, I mean, yeah. So was it the fact that the Chiefs could get them back on a team from the deal? 100%. Are they depth pieces? 100%. Do we love to have them back? Yeah. Why? Cause there are guys. Anytime you have to hold on to your guys that you've had success with, and they're still as good as they were when you had success with them, it's great, because the best part about this is that it fills out the bottom part of the roster so that the Chiefs aren't up against it in the draft. Like, this enables Brett Veach to draft best available. And that's what he loves to do, you know, in these drafts. So speaking of that, we're going to do a full post-free agency first round mock draft for the entire NFL on this episode today. And it's going to try to be a predictive one where we try to say, okay, so they made these signings in free agency. Let's try to guess where we think this team's going to go and who they might go for. And we're going to do trades too. We're going to put ourselves in the seat of the GM, and we're going to see how close we can get. Here's a little spoiler alert. We're not going to get close. Nobody's going to get close. Why? Because on draft day, there's going to be 8 trades, right? You know, of teams switching around. So a team who's now picking 10 is going to pick 4. That team is picking in the 20s is going to move up to the teens, and somebody's going to trade out of the first round. And it's just so unpredictable, right? That's why last year, I think it was it Budweiser that had, like, if you got all 32 draft picks correct, you won like free beer for a year or something like that, right? But you go online, you fill out the form, and the form didn't allow for trades. It was like a foolproof program, because like you couldn't put trades in there. So it's like, oh, this, nobody's gonna win this. The second there's a trade, everybody is disqualified, right? So anyway,
we're gonna do an entire, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. It was a horrible, horrible thing, but it was good publicity for them, and they didn't. There was no skin off of their back. So we're gonna go through an entire predictive mock draft in this episode as well. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit more Chiefs football. Hollywood Brown, Kramer. I was on record as saying that I didn't want Hollywood Brown per se to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm gonna walk that back a bit, because Hollywood Brown to the Chiefs on a 1-year deal worth up to $11 million, but actually $7 million on the cap hit. That's genius. I want Hollywood Brown for that all day long. I didn't want Hollywood Brown for 3 years, $55 million, right? I didn't want him on a contract like that. 1-year prove it deal so he can chase a ring. It's a whole Juju situation. The other 4 million of those are probably, you know, based upon certain milestones hit. They may be not likely to be earned. They could be, no, I haven't seen the details on it, so I don't really know what they are. But the fact of the matter is, all we care about at this time of the year, I don't care how much money comes out of Clark Hunt's pocket in totality. I care how much money is counted against the Chiefs' salary cap at this moment, and how much the Chiefs still have left to spend, because who they can get and bring in. And so Hollywood Brown on this contract, it's a genius, no-brainer move. It gives the Chiefs that field stretcher that they need, but he can also go over the middle. He's great on out patterns. Like, he has a whole root tree. The guy's a full, just fully developed, legit wide receiver who, and this is where I'm going to give him credit. Early in Hollywood Brown's career, when he was with the Baltimore Ravens, his sophomore season, I think he had 7 drops or something like that. He had a huge case of the drops, right? Almost like he had the yips or something. He could not catch. It seemed like he was just dropping balls in the end zone left and right. Since then, I think he has like a 3% drop rate. Yep. Since then, like, the guy has completely turned around. I think Ron Kopp Jr. talked about it a little bit. He plays bigger than he actually is. He can go up and get a ball. I mean, the more that I've gone back and watched more tape on him since they signed him, the more I've liked him as a player and who he is. And I think it's a great signing. And regardless of if I wanted them to sign him ahead of time or not, he's a Kansas City Chief now, so I'm a huge fan, right? Once you put that jersey on, baby, I'm your biggest fan. I don't care who you are, right? Like, I don't care if I didn't like you before. Like, they could put, like, I mean, you know, Derek Carr could put on a Chiefs jersey, and I'd be like, cool.
He's our guy now.
I don't care. Yeah, you're our guy now. I don't care what you did in your past. Let bygones be bygones. You know, it's Was there's a Ted? Is that Ted Lasso quote? I hope everybody. I hope that either all of us are judged based upon our worst moments, or none of us are. Right, and that's how I feel about people who are on the teams they played for. Like, you know, like don't like just. I won't. As long as you play for us now, I won't judge you for who you were in the past. Right,
and hey, that's fair. Yeah.
So just put on our jersey, baby, and you're one of us now, Hollywood Brown. So welcome to Kansas City, and we love you, man. What do you think about this Hollywood Brown signing?
This was a good move for the Chiefs. They needed to do something here, and you at least got a proven wide receiver that knows the capability of not dropping footballs when it's been thrown to him, because that's something that the Chiefs lacked clearly all of last season. And now it feels like with this roster being set and put together now, it feels like this team is more well-rounded, I want to say, than last year, because we're at least going to expect – to see Rashee Rice, Marquise Brown, and now with them alongside Travis Kelce out there, knowing that there's going to be at least three options for the Chiefs that you can be confident that Patrick Mahomes is going to hit at least one of those open guys, because they will get open. Because if you double team one guy, like if they say it's Travis Kelce, there's some guys that are going to be single covered, also double covered. But then if there's two people double covering somebody, someone's wide open. So this is a good situation for the Chiefs. Absolutely love it. And let me emphasize this again. He does not drop the football. He doesn't. So this is clearly a good thing for the Chiefs.
I mean, that's the top thing right there, right? Like, that's the number one deal. He doesn't drop the football. Like, guys, we have a wide receiver who can stretch the field that doesn't drop the football.
He's legit an X receiver.
He's legit. Well, I wouldn't call him an X. I think
he's an X. For this team, he's the X. He has to be.
We'll get to that. This team needs an X still. This team still needs an X.
But if this Hollywood is the Brown, team here, he is.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're going to do a mock draft. This isn't the team here.
Oh, I'm Kramer's ooh, dance, what's the Chiefs going to pick at 32 on Rocky's mind?
If
they or is it if they trade up at least.
If they pick at 32, Kramer stands on. Don't put words in Brett Veach's mouth. I'll put words in Brett Veach's mouth because I'm drafting for the Chiefs on this podcast. But no, he is 100%. I think that his best usage on this team is lining up in a Y, and he's kind of that move piece between Y and slot, and then him that gives them the freedom to do whatever they want with Rashee Rice. But Hollywood Brown, he's your jet sweep guy. He can hit it from the slot. I mean, he's a wide receiver screen guy. Like, so basically anything you wanted to do with, say, Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, all of those things, you could do with Hollywood Brown. Plus, you can also stretch the field like you wanted to do with MVS as well, right? He's not the same size as MVS, but he has that same like deep ball stretch the field over the top, you know, post, seam, whatever you want, route, like ability to beat guys. He just beats them with speed instead of, you know, size and height like MVS kind of did. And so that really frees. So if you bring in a legit X receiver, then you are 100% free to do whatever you want with Rashee Rice. And you can just interchange him and Hollywood Brown however you want, and then keep your one true X wide receiver on the outside. And that's when this team gets dynamic, right? That's when this offense is dangerous. And you don't have any idea what they're going to do. They're shifting guys around. And so I am 100% excited. I think that this is a huge piece to the puzzle. Do I think the puzzle is complete yet? No. But is this a huge piece to it? Heck yeah. Heck to the mother freaking yeah. Yeah, I think it is. And I'm stoked about it. I'm so stoked about it.
You should be. This is great. This is awesome. Like, you can at least feel more confident now that if they say they're going to go out there to three-peat, well, they're sticking their flag, the Chiefs flag, right in the ground saying, hey, we're doing this. That's what they're doing.
They're going to score some more points, hopefully, it seems like.
Oh, they need to. That offense was bad last year. Oh,
and cool. What this does is this puts Kadarius Toney on notice. This puts Sky Moore on notice, because the role that those guys wanted to play is the role that that Marquise Brown is now fulfilling. So those guys are going to have a battle to make a roster spot in camp, I think, right? Like, Sky Moore is not a lock to make this roster this year.
No.
Kadarius Toney is not a lock to make the roster this year, right? And so I think that as the Chiefs continue to, I think they're going to add another piece. And is it going to be another free agent like Tyler Boyd? Maybe. That'd be a guy that to keep your eye on. You know, Josh Reynolds. He gets signed, Josh Reynolds?
Yes, he did. Back with the
Josh Reynolds is gone. Yeah, Josh Reynolds is gone off the market. So, I mean, but if it's a guy like that, then maybe. But I really think they're going to look to the draft for it and maybe try to find somebody a little bit more dynamic. Spoiler alert. So, Chiefs, great job. We applaud you, Brett. Killing it as always. You have our seal of approval so far in this offseason. Other big story in the Chiefs offseason right now is the L'Jarius Sneed situation. The whole will they or won't they? There's rumors everywhere. Nobody seems to know anything. It almost seems to be a little bit like a battle between your like social media scoop artists, right? And the traditional, you know, newspaper journalists. The traditional newspaper journalists out there are saying, teams saying nothing's in the works. There's no deal in place. Yada, yada, yada. All your internet scoop guys are saying they're just trying to sort out the contract with L'Jarius Sneed. The Chiefs and the Colts have already agreed on the compensation, but Sneed wants more money than the Colts are willing to offer, and that's the only thing holding it up. But both teams think that they're going to come to an agreement, and that L'Jarius Sneed is going to be traded to the Colts. Right. With that being said, the compensation that's being floated is a third rounder plus another 2025 pick. Is that overwhelming compensation by any means? No. Is it disappointing? Maybe. Do I think Sneed's worth more than that? Yeah. Does the market dictate the price? Definitely. So, I mean, especially if a team feels like they need to pay more money, maybe they're not willing to give up as much in compensation, which is kind of a counterintuitive argument, to be honest. Like, if you think of guys, if they end up paying L'Jarius Sneed $19 million for a three-year contract or $20 million a year, maybe say 60 for 3 years, whatever, then you would think that in your mind, you value that guy as something more than a third round draft pick. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
So you just don't want to give up the compensation for it. So we'll see what it is. I would honestly like a dream scenario would be Chiefs trade 32 and Sneed to move up to 15. Like, that seems like a fair, that means that Sneed's about the value of a second rounder ish. Yep. And that seems fine. That seems like a fair compensation, right? And no, the Colts aren't losing any draft picks. They're just moving back and they're gaining L'Jarius Sneed, right? I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be a situation that I think would be cool. That being said, what do you think's going on with Sneed, Graham?
It's weird because that report came out yesterday, Saturday morning. And it was interesting because there was a three-hour window. Then there was a little story that said, oh, nothing. It's still in the works, still being discussed. It's like, what are we doing here? At this point in time, it's been a day and a half of recording this. And by the time this is posted out, who knows if the deal is actually going to happen or not. I don't think it will. I don't. I think L'Jarius Sneed stays here in Kansas City. He's getting paid $19 million just to play this season alone. I mean, that is a lot more money than what he's been getting from his previous contract. So this is, I mean, he's still getting paid, if you want to say it that way, with the Chiefs. But I don't think, even if it is a third and maybe a 2025 later round pick, that's still not worth enough for L'Jarius Sneed. I think Sneed stays. I don't think this trade's going to happen. I think he stays here in Kansas City because even if they do trade away Sneed, there's a extra big hole on the defensive side now because you need to replace a guy that is caliber of L'Jarius Sneed's movement, mobility, mindset, all of it, his physicals. Like, you're losing a big piece on defense if you end up trading him for a third and a second or a fifth or a fourth from next year's draft.
What I would tell you is a couple days ago, ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. Actually mocked Xavier to the Detroit Lions at number 29. They picked three ahead of the Chiefs because they were in the NFC title game. Wide receiver out of South Carolina. Here's what he had to say. Legette is rising in my rankings after he ran a 4.39 and tested well in the other drills at the combine. While I will quibble with South Carolina for listing him at 6'3", while he's actually 6'1", a big height guy, Mel Kiper Jr., he wouldn't hold that against him. Fantastic 2023 season with 1,255 receiving yards while averaging 17.7 yards per catch. Wow. He dominated cornerbacks on crossing routes, lining up in the slot and outside. This is a way to keep improving the Detroit offense. Seems like it would be a receiver the Chiefs would consider at 32, John. I know we're going to get more into Hollywood Brown. Before we get to that point, what I'd say, you know, briefly, and not to get into detail until a little bit later in the podcast, but I think the Chiefs made their splash in free agency, but I don't think they're done at wide receiver. I could see some other veteran role players at the position finding their way to Kansas City. And I certainly think by the time we get to the end of the NFL draft, they will have another receiver out of this draft class. It's a matter of, will they do that in the first round at number 32, or will it be later on in the NFL draft?
No, I completely agree. I mean, they will probably find a player, something like Justin Watson,
right?
Someone who can be a contributor in the mid-range in the receiver room before they get to the draft, just because Brett Beach doesn't like to have any holes he has to fill on draft day. He likes to be able to always go for the best player available to him without concerns about player positional needs or whatever you want to call it. So I agree. I think we'll see that. And I think we'll also see the team take a wide receiver in the draft. And there are a lot of them. That is the thing that's really striking me about this. And in a situation like that, so much is going to depend on how individual teams evaluate these players.
Yep.
And guys that we think are not going to make it to 32 might actually make it to 32 on draft day. It could be a very interesting day.
And the Chiefs also, I think, benefit from the fact that it seems like a lock that four quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. So what that means is, as we know, Kansas City definitely doesn't need a quarterback. And so you're picking more 28 right out of the 28 prospects than 32. A point on Legit too that I have here. I looked this up before the podcast started. John, you do a great job of getting all the mock drafts and keeping track of who's going where. And Legit was actually mocked to the Chiefs in 2% of the NFL mock drafts that we've covered for Arrowhead Pride. Most recently, both Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah in their most recent mock drafts have actually mocked Adonai Mitchell, a wide receiver from Texas, to the Chiefs. I actually had an opportunity to talk with Mel Kiper on a conference call this morning. And one of the things that he highlighted about Mitchell out of Texas is that he doesn't drop the ball. We're going to put an article out later. By the time I think you hear this podcast, we'll have the article out about Mitchell and potential other pivots that the Chiefs might have. But one thing he said in his very, I can't even do the impression, I know that there's a lot of them out there, but a very fast and speedy, is that he's very fascinated with the success that Patrick Mahomes has, just given the fact that the Chiefs had so many drops last year and Mitchell just doesn't drop the football. So receivers still on the radar. I don't think these guys who are experts mocking players to the Kansas City Chiefs think that just because they signed Hollywood Brown that they are done at receiver and maybe even in the first round. So we'll see if Legit makes it to Kansas City. This is our other review today. This is from Christopher. Absolutely love the coverage that you guys provide here at Arrowhead Pride. I've been a Chiefs fan since the Trent Green days, as that's when I could really pay attention to football. My two favorite shows are The Editor Show and The Great British Chiefs Show. Both shows are equally funny, but yet informative at the same time. Also, Serta is absolutely the best and always makes me laugh. Keep up the fantastic work, everybody. So,
wow,
that's a good review. So thank you to that. Again, if you want to hear your review right here on the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show, go to Apple iTunes. And of course, we always appreciate the 5 stars. All right, John, let's get into the Chiefs news of this week. And I got to say, this LeJarius Sneed thing, to me, with all the Chiefs Twitter or X involvement and the different reports from really respected, well-known media insiders and some of the local insiders and some of the pseudo-local national insiders, everyone kind of has a little bit of a different story, a little bit of a different thing to say on this. I know that I was out last week, so I was a little bit out of the mix on this story, but we were still covering it at AP. And one of the things I saw a colleague of mine from 610 Sports Radio, Carrington Harrison, he seemed to be on top of things. Like, you know, as I've talked to people, it seemed like his report that he put out on X was the closest to what's really going on here. And these were the notes from Carrington, John, that no team has made a second-round offer for Sneed. Sneed would like, ideally, who wouldn't, to become the highest-paid cornerback in the league, and that's been the major holdup. The Chiefs are fine with him playing on the franchise tag. next season. I've heard that for a long time, that the Chiefs, you know, would be okay with him playing on the tag.
Right.
And the medicals are concerning. And I think there's some truth to all that. I think it's probably a little more muddled than anyone would like to make it out to be, just because when you have a player on the tag and you're trying to potentially trade him, a lot goes into it, right? Like, you're talking to different teams. Certain teams are placed differently in the draft. You're considering maybe a second rounder, maybe it's a third rounder, maybe it's a fourth rounder. Heck, we saw Justin Fields, who I would consider a franchise quarterback. What do I know? He went for a sixth rounder that can only turn into a fourth. I would have never expected that at the beginning of this offseason. And so I am to the point where I think everyone is hearing things, and not to say that anything is inaccurate, but I think everything might be a little true, a little false. I know that you probably have that point. Here's where I stand on Snead, just based on everything I've had with conversations and heard with conversations with people in the building, and just my general feel of it. And again, this is Pete Sweeney talking. You know, I think this is a very worth saying. I think this is a very fluid situation. So just because I'm saying this on this podcast today doesn't mean things will be completely different tomorrow or the day after.
Right. Yeah.
But here's where I'm at right now, John, and then I'll let you weigh in on this whole situation. I think that it's easy for me to understand why he wants to be paid the top money at quarterback in the league. And I say that because it's just ridiculous. Other teams come in and their best receiver, who eats on a weekly basis against other teams, come in and have a bad game against Steed. It's incredible. I mean, and you're not talking about receivers that are borderline elite. I mean, you're talking about Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson and that level of receiver that comes in. So, you know, why should he take any less? And also, you know, when you think about the $19 million tag here, stands to make more money this year than he's made in his entire career. So in a way, that's worth waiting for. And here's where I think it gets a little complicated. And CDOT alluded to this with the medicals. I don't know if a GM out there is going to take a risk with LeJarius Sneed. Don't forget, he missed all the training camp with the knee stuff and time at practice throughout the year. Very clearly, there's something going on with this player's needs. And so now you're asking a GM, both from Sneed's camp and the Chiefs camp, to trade a second rounder, which we've seen how valuable a second round pick could be in the NFL. Heck, Travis Kelce, for example, was a third rounder. So think about what you can get in the second round. And you're asking them to trade a second rounder, maybe a third rounder, whatever it is, so that you're already giving up that capital. And now you're saying, okay, max top dollar for a player whose medicals are a little questionable and have been questionable in Kansas City. And it's one thing to pay a player on the tag, but I'm wondering if, much like these GMs, Brett Veach is looking himself in a mirror and saying, well, you know, we've been fortunate and we've managed this and he's been able to stay on the field for us, but do we want to offer top dollar even for a 3-year span? And then all of a sudden you have, and look, great player when he was healthy, but you have another Eric Berry situation on your hands where he can't get on the field. I mean, I don't think you want to find yourself in that position if you're Brett Veach or another GM. And so I find myself thinking, John, that the ultimate way this plays out is that you're not going to find a GM who wants to risk all of that capital, draft and money and otherwise. And so I think he plays a year in Kansas City and they manage it again. And then he walks, and then the Chiefs end up getting a pick back, probably in the fourth round, I would assume, maybe next year when he does hit the open market, and has to sign. Like, he can't just sit there and say, I'm going to wait for this deal I'm looking for. He has to sign with somebody. So those are my thoughts on it. And I kind of understand why it's so convoluted, because there's just a lot of moving parts here. And I'll let you kind of weigh in here, John.
Well, you know, one of the things that's unfortunate about this whole situation is that the Snead trade drew a lot of attention from guys on X who like to say they have information when maybe they don't. And yes. So not only were, you know, trusted, reputable reporters putting information out there that sometimes conflicted with other information that was out there, you had these other sources, and I'll put that in air quotes, saying other things about the trade. Now, maybe they know something. You know, it's not unknown for an individual who has some kind of a contact inside of a football club to know something that maybe isn't known by most people out on the street. But I don't like to depend on that kind of information for the news that I'm getting. Some people do for whatever reason. I can't explain that, mm-hmm. but it made the whole situation more complicated and more confusing. Now, personally, I'm of the belief that most of these guys, most of the reputable sources of information for NFL activity, and I'm talking about people like, you know, Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and Field Yates and these guys that we quote all the time at arrowheadpride.com, I think these guys are telling the truth by and large. Yes, it's possible that they're getting information that's being provided to them with the best spin based on who's giving it to them. Like, for example, if we get a report that there's seven teams interested in Snead, well, it's a pretty good chance that came from the agent and he's putting the best face on it. Maybe there were four teams that were really interested and three that were just sort of interested.
Yeah. And we always look at seven teams. It's like, and fans, I think, their immediate reaction is like, well, why can't there be a deal?
Right.
A team being interested could be one phone call, and an agent with a straight face could put out there seven teams interested. Right. Three might be serious about it. And then now you're pressed up against it a little bit.
Right. But it's still a true statement that was given to the reporter, and he reports it, and it's an accurate statement. And then we have the situation like we had with Snead, where there was all this reporting that a deal was imminent in the next day or two. And people naturally presume that this means that they've been talking to the team about a trade. They've been talking to Snead about a contract, and all the pieces are about to fall into place. And then Adam Schefter drops this bomb saying that the Colts and the Chiefs haven't even spoken to each other about this deal. And it sounds like somebody's lying. And I don't think that's what happened. I think what happened is that it's more likely, in my mind, that the Colts were just concentrating on the contract part of it first.
Right.
And I'll tell you why I think so. And that is that there were reports from Colts beat reporters that were saying that the team was very concerned about how much they could afford to spend. The Colts have spent a lot of money in free agency this year. And if you're in a situation like that, I think it makes sense to approach it in that way. Can we afford to do this big contract? And until you have the answer to that question, maybe you don't even talk to the team about trade compensation.
Right.
So here's a way that I think, you know, most of these reports can end up being true if we just remember that it doesn't have to all be happening at once.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Like, in that scenario, because the Chiefs have given the Snead and representation permission to go out there and look around.
Sure, right?
So, if they don't come to an agreement on a contract, there's no reason for Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, to talk to Veach. Because if they're not agreeing to extend an extension, Snead's not going to sign the contract and can't be moved anyway. So,
and it's not as if there wasn't already a pretty good idea of what the Chiefs wanted. You know, I mean, right away, we were getting reports that they wanted a second round pick, et cetera.
Yeah. As a hybrid old school and new school media, I feel like I'm right in the middle to comment on this. It was fun to watch how the new school media was going up against the old guard. And there was just like a lot of, like, you could tell that both sides were getting a little feisty when Adam Schefter appeared on the Pat McAfee show. You could tell he was like a little annoyed by it. And then, of course, it seems like, you know, the new generation, new media, if you want to say blogger X type of reporter, they're getting annoyed because they're not getting respect from the old guard. And it was just mayhem. I don't know. I'm always of the belief that, like, this is kind of fun to hear what's going on, but does it really matter? I mean, we don't play, like we just said, what did I say? How many days until 169 days until opening night? You know what? Whatever happens this week and next week, I'm not going to get upset about it, because I know for a fact that 169 days from now, they will have this resolved. I mean, I don't know when it's going to come. John, probably when we're out to dinner with our girlfriend and wife, respectively, but it's going to come at a certain point, right? So, like, I'm not overly worried about it, and I think both things are good. I think the Chiefs have enough cornerback depth to be okay without Snead. However, I think if you're really going for a three-peat and you're worried about his medicals, really feels like one more year on the tag is a pretty good deal, especially when you have the salary cap room. And speaking of the salary cap room, the Chiefs made a really nice salary cap deal, I think, for Hollywood Brown. in the next segment, after we talk about Brown, I am going to get into some of the contracts of receivers around the AFC. And John, I'll let you take over here initially with the salary cap numbers on Hollywood Brown. 1 year up to $11 million. I know maybe it wasn't as less as we thought to begin with, but still just a very good deal for someone who I think, I don't want to go as far as say lock it in top 10, but probably can teeter around the top 10 mark as far as receivers, top 15 in the NFL to get him on this contract. And you can go ahead.
Yeah, I think it is a good contract, but I anticipated, because we've seen it so often from the Chiefs, that when they say it's a $7 million contract with $4 million in incentives, most, if not all of those incentives will be not likely to be earned incentives that don't count against the cap until next year.
Right.
Well, this particular contract, more of them were likely to be earned incentives, meaning that Brown hit those marks or something close to them last season, which is the defining point for likely or not likely to be earned. So he ended up making, he'll have a cap hit this year of $8.2 million instead of $7 million as we first anticipated. So not as advantageous a contract as we often see in a situation like this. But remember that the standard here is Marquez Valdez-Scantling making $12 million to provide the production that he did, or Juju Smith-Schuster, who made, I believe it was $9 million, I think.
Yeah.
To provide, you know, second tier receiver numbers in one season in Kansas City. This is a good deal. And I think Hollywood Brown will do better than both of those guys. He's had a 1,000-yard season while playing for a not very good quarterback. So I think that playing for Patrick Mahomes in the Chiefs offense, he will have the opportunity to put up some real numbers. And I think that we'll be perfectly happy with the amount of money the Chiefs are paying him.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Marquise Brown is a much shorter stature guy, 5'8", listed 180 pounds. At the combine, he was 166 pounds, but he definitely has put on weight. He's a little thicker than he used to be. But watch him go up for a ball deep down the field, watching him, you know, play those balls in the air, you know, be instinctual at the catch point. You know, he is so much better attacking and making plays down the field than MVS is, you know, on the sideline as well, you know, just tracking balls, you know, making the most of throws. You know, I kind of have maybe talked about Mahomes' deep accuracy these last couple of years being, you know, a little shaky, but I really think it's really because he feels so uncomfortable throwing to a guy like MVS, who just has terrible attacking skills and needs the ball perfectly put in his breadbasket. Marquise Brown, even though he is a shorter dude, is definitely going to be a better, you know, attacker of the ball, you know, draw pass interferences. He actually does that at a pretty good rate. For his size, you know, and that's the thing. MBS could not draw pass interferences because he wouldn't attack the ball. He wouldn't earn the flag. And I think a lot of times that was the problem. So I'm excited about this, but there's so much more than Hollywood Brown than the deep stuff. Cause I think when you talk about the combination, Caleb, of him, Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce, the way they can interchange routes, the way they can all attack different parts of the field. And I really think Hollywood Brown is underrated in his ability to win at the intermediate, you know, win on outs to the sideline, win on curl routes, you know, win on, you know, just like dig routes, that kind of thing where, you know, he can kind of create separation and you know, in short windows. But also he's a pretty good yak player. You know, he's obviously not going to miss any tackles, force any missed tackles. But I'm excited for him to just be able to do a lot of everything. And that's kind of what Rice can do as he evolves. And Kelsey obviously is just such a versatile player. I don't know. I think it was a great signing, and I honestly was going to be okay with it if it was a multi-year deal. You know, I really thought he was going to be a fun fit for the Chiefs. But the fact that it's a one-year deal is honestly even better, because he is going to be, you know, in such a motivated position to, you know, just be the wide receiver one, you know, be a true wide receiver one, get paid like one next offseason. And I honestly think he has a chance to put up those kind of numbers, Caleb. Like, I really do. Like, I think people might need to understand that, like, you know, I could see like Rice, like maybe not having a step forward statistic wise, because Brown might come in and be that dude. Like, I really think that could happen, Caleb. Like, are you that optimistic about Brown, or am I a little higher than you?
I'm not quite as optimistic, but also I kind of like the idea of what the Chiefs had in the 2022 offense. Still very potent and very explosive, obviously very centric around Travis Kelce. But just what they got out of, you know, the supporting cast, out of like a guy like Juju, you know, out of, you know, what MVS was his best season was 2022. I think when you kind of combine what all, you know, what those guys do well, I think that it's going to turn back into this kind of more well-balanced attack, to where you don't really have like that big, you know, 1,000-yard guy, except for maybe Kelce bounces back, goes for 1,000 yards again. But let's say Rashee Rice gets 900 yards and has 5 or 6 touchdowns. We're all very happy. If Marquise Brown goes out and has 700 to 800 yards, has 5 or 6 touchdowns, we're all still very happy. And then, you know, unnamed other receiver possibly in the draft goes out, has 600 or 700 yards and 5 or 6 touchdowns. I mean, you don't need someone to have that monster, you know, 1,500-yard season anymore. You know, Mahomes is at the point in his career where he's going to distribute the ball to the open guy no matter where they are. I just think the idea of bringing in Brown is because I think they get a little bored sometimes. I think Mahomes gets a little bit bored sometimes. And I also think that, you know, outside of that pass to Mecole Hardman in the Super Bowl, I think a lot of people forgot how awesome the Mahomes deep balls can be.
Yeah, no, exactly. And they haven't been able to be unlocked because MVS, you know, is someone that, again, just doesn't unlock them for him. Justin Watson can, but he's just such a limited player and such a one-dimensional player that defenses are starting to understand that, you know, he's our primary deep threat and not going to allow him to get those open, lanes down the field like maybe he used to at some points in his career. Although now, obviously, with Hollywood becoming that more primary deep threat, Justin Watson may, you know, be more valuable again as that secondary deep threat. I really do love the fit he brings, and I do love that he's already working with Bobby Stroop, right? You know, you saw that with Mahomes and Rashee Rice all together. I think that's the one thing, right? You know, if he's healthy, you know, he's had some injury problems in his career, but if he's playing at full health, he's dangerous, man, and he really would be a great player in this offense. But his signing does put us, apparently, according to John Dixon, our great cap expert, you know, at the site, AP, $7.7 million in cap space right now, with the LeJarius Sneed thing still being held up. His franchise tag number is obviously impacting that. And so that kind of just puts you in a position where, can you really do anything else until the Sneed trade happens? Until, you know, because the trade or because the draft, you kind of need a little, you know, a pretty big chunk of that to sign your draft picks. And then obviously, you know, you just kind of need a little bit of cap space after that to just sign, you know, free agents as maybe the offseason goes. You don't want to just be at zero at the draft. So I don't know, Caleb, like, you know, I guess where we sit right now, like you guys talked about the Sneed trade last time, we haven't seen any really progress, except maybe that it seems less likely to happen, right? I guess that's probably maybe my question here is, do you feel less positive that Sneed gets traded, I guess, at this point than you did last week?
There are more people that know what actually happened on the grassy knoll than know what happened is happening with this LeJarius Sneed trade right now, because I mean, Pretty Ricky had sources. He had guys that were putting him in the know. And then all of a sudden, Schefter dropped the hammer and said, I'm just like, where is Jay Glazer with like the late scoop, like the late night Jim scoop? I'm like, where's Jay Glazer at right now? But no, man, no one really knows what's happening. Look, there's too much smoke for there not to be some fire. I mean, the Chiefs aren't a dumb franchise. They weren't just going to like sit there and like just entertain no offers for him. I still think it's kind of just they're waiting on him, but the team really can't do anything right now because they got his big tag. They got the Chris Jones contract, and now they've got Hollywood Brown under, you know, under the deal. So maybe it's holding them up from bringing a guy back like Mike Dana, who they might want on their roster, yeah, who hasn't been re-signed, hasn't signed with anyone. Sounds like Mike Dana could want to be back. They've brought back pretty much their entire defensive line. So I'd be curious to, you know, keep holding on to that, you know, for the next couple of weeks here. I think just as you get closer to the draft week, I don't know if they would move on from him at that point.
Well, I guess we have to operate under this assumption that Brett Veach is once again being held hostage by the franchise tag. And so today we are going to be looking into the draft for the first time from a mock perspective. I don't know about you, Caleb. I don't see you posting a bunch of mocks, so I guess you might be on the same wavelength as me, but I just don't feel like mocks are truly necessary until we get to maybe this point. I think after free agency is when you can kind of, it makes sense, because before that, I mean, you just have no idea who they're going to sign in free agency, who they're going to even have room for on the roster. I think now you can kind of maybe shape it a little better. And so I think today's a good day to look at it from a mock perspective. First of all, I guess, do you agree with me on that? I on the mock.
I've been like do a mock in December guy. I've been doing a mock in January guy. This year has
a month. Okay.
This year hasn't really been that. I'm like, I'm just going to wait. Cause I mean, dude, I think if you do the mock drafts too early, you just start getting bored and then you start just coming up with scenarios. And it's like, hey, scenario A you thought was going to happen is probably what the Chiefs are going to do. Like, everyone drafted FAU in their first mock last year. And then by the time we're trading back, they're trading up, they're taking sleepers you've never heard of in the first round. I'm like, scenario A or B is usually right with the mock draft.
No, that is funny. I mean, hey, you got to give us credit, though. We sucked through it. We had FAU in our team mock draft at the very end of it. But okay, but before we look at the mock draft, which we are going to look at the first three rounds, pick three Chiefs picks and kind of see, you know, how that shapes out for us. We're going to use the PFF mock simulator. Before we do that, though, we do have to kind of just make sure we know what positions we're attacking. And I think that is important because I think it is kind of shifted since free agency has changed or since free agency has happened. And since we are kind of in this lock hold with L'Jarius Sneed, because one thing I will say, if they trade Sneed, quarterback might be like one of the most obvious first round picks all of a sudden. Maybe not obvious, but just like one of the more likely, because, you know, there are a lot of talented outside cornerbacks in that range that they could be drafting. I mean, even a guy like Kool-Aid McKinstry is dropping low, which I think is ridiculous. He's someone that I think is becoming underrated in the class just because I think maybe testing stuff. He is going through an injury right now. He's going to have surgery but all that to say, I mean, there's a lot of things, Caleb. Positional wise, though, breaking down which ones we need, does it make sense that receiver is still on the board for the top 2 days? Do you think they still need to be, you know, looking at taking receiver? I think so, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, especially with this class where it does actually feel right, like it's extremely deep. I mean, you have people talking about like Xavier Leggett in the second round. Like, yeah, if it's deep enough, then, you know, you have to be considering it in one of the first two picks you have.
All right. What about, because that's obvious. I think I definitely agree with you. Let's look at just the offensive skill position in general, though. Like, wouldn't it be interesting if they do take a running back or a tight end on day two, even if it's one of those round three picks, maybe even round two? Are you willing to put them on the draft board in this mock draft?
I think for me, I think tight end would be a little too rich for my blood in the first three rounds. Okay. Just, I mean, I think there's some fine players. I just don't think it's really going to be any like fits for the Chiefs or really what they need. Running back could be interesting. I think that the Chiefs secretly do value their running backs a little bit more, despite Pacheco being the seventh round pick. And to be honest, they do need like a guy they can bring in and have 4 years of control over, to where, you know, like Pacheco, you know, he can be a guy that can run in tandem with him for, you know, because we know Pacheco's going to need a running mate. He's going to get banged up a little bit. So they might value that a little bit more right now.
No, definitely. And they kind of need two different kinds of backs. You know, even though on the roster right now, they have LaMichael Pirine, Denarik Prince, and Keontae Ingram behind Isaiah Pacheco and Hassan Hall, which I didn't catch that one, but he's also on the 90 man. But yeah, they need someone to compliment Pacheco on those, you know, give him some rest, but also, you know, a pass down back. And obviously those guys can be the same person, but I think they just do need a couple additions, and we haven't seen any free agency action from them. I thought that might've been a sneaky position in free agency. So I definitely agree that running back should be on the draft board here. tight end, I agree. Let's push that down to day three. Just not worth it with only three picks. That's one thing I should have mentioned, that as we're in the stranglehold or this hold with L'Jarius Sneed, no draft compensation for him. Only the picks at 32, 64, and 95 in this mock the first 2 days. All right, we got to be putting every offensive line position on the draft board. Obviously, center guard is kind of just a one position in the draft, you know, as we kind of evaluate it. Although I don't think they'd be taking a true center. I think, you know, if there is a true center, it would tell you something about Creed, right? Unless they think he can play guard. I think guard is definitely more likely. What do you think about that? Do you think they would take a true center if a guy, you know, is, because there are a lot of true centers in this class.
Yeah, but I think they have a lot of faith in Creed. You know, I see right. people making the comments about the snaps and like, oh, well, he's going to end up playing guard. That just doesn't seem likely to me. I think that would be silly from an offensive line analyst perspective. I do think, though, guard, you know, looking ahead to the future, it's something you kind of need. And also, you right. lost Nick Allegretti, so you don't have that versatile guard center backup you've typically had. And then, you know, I know from – I'd say, you know, that could be something if they took, like, a third-round pick on, like, a pretty good guard who they're like, yeah, he'll sit a year, but he's going to be a four or five – he's going to be a four-year starter for us after that. You know, I'd be fine with that. And then, like, even looking over to tackle, man, it's like – we don't know who's going to be left tackle. Donovan Smith's not on the roster. You know, we think we know with Wanya Morris, but if they got a chance to take a guy day one who they think can come in and be the guy, I don't think they'd hesitate to take that. They've just valued offensive line so greatly since the Super Bowl catastrophe against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, 100%. No, even if it's not day one, I think it'd still be worthy maybe to, you know, draft one of the, you know, a left tackle type on day two. And it just, you know, a swing tackle, even, you know, guys that can play both, you know, even if Juwan gets hurt, you know, something that, you know, you can trust a guy. Cause right now, yeah, it's just Lucas Niang. And you know, I don't know about y'all, but, you know, he's not someone that, you know, makes me feel good when he's in the game. So it is definitely a need on all positions on the offensive line. But that's the thing on offense, there's a lot more needs than I feel like on defense when you're talking about the top of the draft, right? Like, I really think you only need to be looking at defensive end and defensive tackle on the first couple of days. Do you think there's any need to be looking at the linebacker, cornerback, or safety position as we sit here? If we're under the assumption that L'Jarius Sneed is going to be on this team through the draft and possibly, you know, on this team, obviously in 2024, do you see them attacking the back end at all of the defense on the first couple of days?
Yeah, I think there's always that chance that if Sneed does get traded, that they could potentially want to look into a day one corner. As far as the linebacker thing, I just don't really think this class is that great overall, but the Chiefs have valued linebacker in the past. They've taken it even when they really haven't needed to, you know, that would be something interesting to keep an eye on, especially since Nick Bolton only has that 1 year left on his contract. And then, you know, with the safety, I think they're just going to roll with what they have. I think they kind of like, yeah. I think they like what they have. I think Justin Reed is who he is, you know, not a friend of the show, but he is, he plays fine. I think they're really high on Brian Cooks. So I think they're high on Shamari Connor also. So it'd be fun to see how those guys kind of pair up and match up. But yeah, I mean, I think the most likely would be like, yeah, they'll take a corner maybe in the first 3 days if they take Sneed. Linebacker's kind of a wild card. I think if they take a safety, it's going to be like a late day three guy to play specials.